All right, how we doing? I know it was short. We're used to a couple more minutes, a little more friendliness. But I'm gonna regroup y'all. This is gonna run just a tiny bit different than usual, but there is purpose in it. I promise all the right pieces will be there and they'll fit, but we're gonna run things a little different. If you're expecting announcements and offering, I'm throwing you for a loop. Because we're just digging right into the sermonette. I like to call it a sermonette. It's a girl sermon. It's actually a mini sermon. It's a mini girl sermon. Okay, anyways, we are in the middle of a series where Kevin and I have been able to preach on our family, our values here at Thrive, what kind of church we feel like God is making us to be, what he has in mind for us, and it's been really, really fun. And I've just been, as I've been thinking about church, I feel like in a lot of ways our culture, the cultural ways of doing things have over time just have been able to seep into church. And a lot of times if you think about church and how it goes in the organization, you could probably use something like an org chart to like, you know, come up with like the organization of the church. And at the top you have like one or two co-pastors, right? At the top there, and underneath the two pastors who do most of the work, keep the church going, and you know, breathing life into the church. Then you have like some paid staff. You have some paid staff who do have their roles and their part underneath them, like, gathering some people underneath them to do some jobs here and there, right? Like we could easily like, fit the business world, the traditional org chart over the church. And as I was thinking about the picture of this, I feel like the picture that God gave me for a church like that would be organized like this would look something like this. Have you guys seen this house in this? It's the top secret house in Wisconsin Dells. Have anybody seen this before? It's supposed to be the white. Nobody. Thank you. One, two. Thank you. A few of you. It's supposed to be this white house. It's like the White House, and it's turned. It's upside down. This is in the Dells, and every time when we went to the Dells with our family, we would drive past this house. I was always like just weirded out by it. I was like, I never want to go in that weird place. And in fact, when we would drive past to get to our hotel back and forth, we would drive past all the time. And every time I drove past, there was like two cars in the parking lot. So I feel like everybody else felt the same way that I felt about it. Like, it's just weird, right? Like, here's what's weird about it. It has all the right parts, all the right pieces in place, right? It's got the door, it's got windows. You actually can go in and go through a tour, and there's bedrooms. And there's in the bedrooms, there's furniture and maybe clothing in the closets, and there's a kitchen. It's got the right parts, but none of the right function. Because you walk in a house like this, and you walk into the kitchen, and you're not going to see what you would see in my house, which are backpacks and shoes and homework, which it's like my pet peeve. Our kitchen is like a large mudroom. Like, I'm like, people, this is for cooking and eating and playing Connect Four, right? Like, get your stuff out of my kitchen. But you walk into that kitchen, you're not going to see any of those things. You're not going to see dad marinating the chicken for the grill that night. You're not going to walk into the house and see sisters like lending each other sweaters, family pets scurrying around. You're not going to find anything in a house like this, like all the right parts, but not the right function. You walk in and there's nothing lasting. There's no generations growing up in this place. There's no comfort happening. No one's learning how to tie their shoes in this house. You don't have, the function of a family. There's nobody coming over, a neighbor coming over in crisis when they need some comfort. Nobody's going to pop by for a cup of sugar to finish the oatmeal cookies, right? Like nothing of real life, nothing of impact, nothing really happening in a place like this. And this is the church that is a tourist attraction, right? This is an upside down church, and it's something that people might come, it might be like easy come, easy go. I'll pay my dues, I'll come in, I'll check out what's going on in here, but really what I want to do is I want to watch some other people do the activity of the church. Right? Like this is a church that the world can sniff out in an instant. It's a church where they're like, you know what? It's not authentic. There's not real life. There's not real family happening in connection in that place. And so I'd rather not. I'd rather not just contribute to a tourist attraction church that just is serving as a platform maybe for somebody's ego or dynamic personality. And this is a church that Kevin and I are going to fight with everything that we have in us to be a church that's turned right side up. To be a church that we read about in Ephesians 4, where every joint comes together, building each other equipped, building each other up in love. That's the church that we have set our eyes on. It's the vision that we have. It's the value that we have, where every part comes together with their unique gift, their unique passion, their unique calling, their unique assignment in life, where everybody gets to play, is what we like to call it. Everybody gets to play. So we get to read about this church that God has in mind, this design that he has, the pattern he has, where everybody gets to play. And we see Paul write about it in 1 Corinthians 12. It's this church that's right side up. It's a church where it's built up together in love. And this is what he writes in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. This is probably going to sound super familiar to some of you guys, but here's what he writes. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So this is the model of a church equipped, building itself up in love, the right side up church, a church where everyone gets to play. And when we look at this scripture, there's a couple things that just absolutely jump out at me. The first thing is that the word that Paul's using is that there are a variety of gifts given. And I love how God is so purposeful with the words that he chooses, that he wants to remind us that the things that I'm putting into your life that you use for building up my kingdom, building up my church in love, they are, first and foremost, they are gifts. And inherent in that word is this concept that we don't earn them, that they aren't given based on merit. Right? That if God wanted us to get this notion that you earn it, he would call it a wage, not a gift, right? A wage is something you clock in, you put your hours in, and at the end of it, out comes what you earned, what you worked for, what you deserved. It's not based on what is fair, what you think you should get. It isn't based on even how you feel about the gift that is given. It's purely given out of a giver's heart to a receiver. So we first and foremost see that what is given is a gift, given freely, not earned, not worked for. And then this is the next thing that jumped out at me, is that all over this scripture, over and over and over again, you get this concept of everyone, right? So look what he says in verse 6. It's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And then verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And then in verse 11, that it's the Spirit that apportions to each one individually as he wills. Do you catch that message? Like, it's hard to miss. Everyone, all, each. Like, he's a theme. Like, every single person who is a follower of Jesus, who is filled with his Spirit, once that happens, in that package deal is a gift that is given to build up the church. Everyone. And not only that, I love this concept again that you just can't miss, that it says in verse 11 that we're empowered by the same Spirit, that there is one Holy Spirit, that there is one throughout Bible history, throughout all of mankind, there is one Spirit that is given. So we're saying the same Spirit that empowered Paul to preach, to take the message of the kingdom, this radical thing that God did in his life, and to take it to new communities and plant churches and encourage people and build people up. That same Spirit is in me to do the same work. Yes, that same Spirit that was in Peter, that he could stand and teach and preach in front of thousands of people. That same Spirit is in me. Yes, that same Spirit is in you to talk to your coworkers about the good news of the kingdom. The same Spirit that was in that we read about in Exodus 30 in verse 1, there's this Spirit of God was on these craftsmen, And these craftsmen were filled, they were empowered with the Spirit. It said to work with like wood and precious metals and gold and jewels to be able to create this glorious temple of the Lord. That same Spirit works in you, all of you, not in me, to make things beautiful, to create things, to show off the glory of God, whether it's like photography or music or painting, you know, like that. It's the same Spirit that empowered them. The same Spirit that empowered Moses to lead is in you, to lead people around you, to lead your family, to lead coworkers. The same Spirit that prophesied through Isaiah about the coming king and about this kingdom, that what God was about to do on the earth. That same Spirit equips, empowers you. The same Spirit that was at work in Jesus to work that miracle that rose Jesus from the grave. Crazy power, crazy Spirit. That same Spirit, one Spirit. Like, God is just highlighting this so strongly in this day, you guys, that one Spirit. You guys remember when I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I did that illustration. Some of you were here. You had the candle. I had one big candle flame and lots of little candles, and we divided the flame, the Holy Spirit. The whole point of that was it's the same potency, the same quality of the Spirit at work in every bit that we see here. Same Spirit at work in our church, in our lives today. Okay? So, same Spirit. We got that. Each one, everyone, same Spirit. Okay, not only that, not only are we empowered by that same Spirit, but Paul writes us in verse 7 that we get the manifestation of the Spirit. And I love that word manifestation. It means, the root word means to make something that was unknown or invisible visible. It's being able to bring something out that was hidden to make it seen. And so what he's saying is that that God is known through us as we display his gifts in the world. He's known through us. And I think the perfect illustration for this is a prism. Ta-da! Prism. I'm not super scientific. I don't know completely how this works, but here's what I do know. That on one end, we have light. And light to the eye, it looks white. Right? It just looks like plain, like white light. But you put it through a prism, and what happens is the light is refracted. It's split up into its components, the colorful components that actually make up that white light. And on one side, all you can see is white light. You can't see the colors, but you put it through, and all of a sudden, out comes red and orange and yellow, and what else? Where are they? Indigo? Yeah, violet, right? All these like fancy colors come out the other side. This is a picture of us, our lives. Like here we stand and God's Spirit comes empowered through us to manifest the character of an invisible God, the nature of a brilliant God, the majesty of a king who reigns, you know, from heaven on this earth still today. It's a cool picture. It's an accurate picture that here we are as individual lives, and we need your red. We need your sunshine yellow. We need your indigo. We need the colors, and we come together to give a complete picture of this God who is indescribable, right? This God who is unknowable without the body. And so I love this, that we display the activity of God. We display who he is, his nature. He shines through us. And this is what Paul writes in Romans 12, 3-8. He says, "For as in one body, we have many members, many colors, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one in one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. And the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." So this is what we're going to do this morning. We are going to see the display of God in different gifts and different people in this church. And we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to go through a couple of these gifts, and we're going to model everyone gets to play. And so we're going to start with Mike Bourbon, who's going to come and show us just exhortation, the bit of God that comes alongside and gives strength and gives counsel and courage and is like, you can do this, that can inspire us on. So Mike, you're going to spend a couple minutes exhorting us. Use the Spirit of God, that gift that He gave you, and let it fly.
Thanks, Molly. You know, it was really interesting when I saw that picture of the pyramid, you know, the hierarchy and kind of what our system typically is outside of the church. But I see the inverted pyramid where Jesus Himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. I love the concept of body. Every one of you means something. You're all very, very important. The less seemingly gifts, you know, where you feel like, well, I'm not an upfront person, surely you're as more important than those who are upfront a lot of times. So I just want to let everybody know you're valuable. And so I just wanted to share some things that the Lord had laid on my heart. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Yeah? And we, the church, are a vehicle in which God uses to bring light, not only to encourage each other, but also to come outside of here to encourage those who are in darkness. You know, I can't stop but think about this verse, too. It tells us to encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We are in a real dark world. Do you see all the chaos, the divisiveness, the anger? I see people all the time who are just, oh, I can't believe what's going on in our government. You know, I can't believe this, I can't believe that, and they're discouraged. I had one guy that was suicidal. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, don't base your life on the world system. There's something much greater than that, and that's Jesus Christ. The good news message, huh? I mean, He died for us. He loved us so much, and He's given us new life in the Holy Spirit, and I just think that's awesome. So in light of that, Jesus Himself said in John 16:33, He says, I've spoken these things to you that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Isn't that a promise? We have that promise, and we need to lean on that promise. So here's some other thoughts I had about how we can sow into the Spirit, okay? So sow to the Spirit, a sowing, reaping. Make deposits in others. And what I mean by that is let's encourage one another, really, to love and good deeds. As I call it, the gold bar standard, okay? Gold bar, all right? So what that is I'm going to look at Dwight and I say, Dwight, you're an amazing accountant. You've had a history of doing so much to help others get financially supported and guided. You're awesome. You know, and I can go on and on with the musicians around here, Mary and Jess and Sarah and you know, Hannah. I'm still working on names, everybody. Bear with me. And Ted and others here. You know, if I had a chance, I'd spend the whole time just letting you know you're worthwhile and you're valuable. And the other thing here is to let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. I have found in my Christian life, as I've been involved in different things over the years, where it became more routine and orthodox, I lost my first love. And, you know, it just became like, oh, I'm just going to go to church, I'm just going to do this, and I lost the fire. Ever since I've come to Thrive, I'm getting almost like rekindled. Like there's a fire that's burning inside of me that I don't know how to describe other than I'm going back to my first love. And in Revelations 2, verses 4 and 5, was a message to the church in Ephesus. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. What had happened is that the Ephesians' passion and fervor for Christ had become cold. Has anybody's passion and fervor become cold? Are you discouraged? Are you weary? But listen, there is a way to come out of that, and we need to come before the Lord and repent and say, you know, I give my whole heart to you. I surrender to you. And believe me, the chains will be loosened. And there's a lot of freedom in that, you know, but it's heavy, isn't it? Don't you feel heavy sometimes? But don't let the heaviness take away from the joy of knowing the Lord. You know, it's real interesting. I want to highlight one individual in here, and it's Daniel. Daniel had given me a note I had apparently written to him about 44 years ago. And let me just read this to you. I was involved in a youth group, and I was inviting people out to this youth group. And I guess one of my standard letters, although this one is a little bit more personal than I realized. So I'm describing the youth group to him, and I'm inviting him. And I said, if you need a ride, call me. I know you would have a great time. If we say we love God, He will keep us and give us a great life. And I think I was 20 years old when I wrote that. So Dan, I said, so Dan, I love you, brother. keep in touch. Now, Dan, you're an archivist. I know you keep a lot of stuff from the past. But I bless you, brother. I really do. Little did I know that sometimes the deposits, what we encourage people, will come into fruition much later. So don't be discouraged, because the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And remember, it does not come back void until it's accomplishing what it's meant out to be, okay? So I am making a commitment to you that I'm returning to my first love. And I'm all in. I've been kind of half in here, maybe three quarters in. I'm all in now. And I really want to make a commitment to be all I can be for you, to serve this church. And then let's be lights in this world. We're in a dark world. So when you're in checkout lines, say hello to people. If you see people who are downtrodden and discouraged, come alongside them and touch them and say, I love you, I care about you, I'm going to pray for you. So, you know, I love you guys. I really do. Thank you for the leadership of this church. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just renewing and revitalizing me. I'm so grateful. And so God bless you guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Awesome. You're a gift, Mike. All right, so next, speaking of gifts, next, did you guys know, did you see this in this list that there is a gift of giving, of generosity? And I said this first service, but I've always been praying that people with the gift of giving would be around my life. And and then I have this twin sister, Mary, who has this gift of giving, and Mary's going to come up and share just a little bit about what God has put on her heart in terms of that gift of giving and what it looks like to be generous. And then after she shares, we're going to take the offering. See? I told you, it's all coming together. So here we go, Mir.
I'm going to follow Mike and stay down here. But yeah, we're going to, you guys get to instantly apply what I talk about and highlight. So yeah, offering people, if you want to just prep and get ready, that'd be great. But I am following the exhortation. I think, Mike, you did a great job of even just, well, I think what Mike's highlighting is even being generous with our lives and being generous with our resource. And so I'm going to talk a little further on that and even stewardship, but also giving back and giving back to the church. So I told the first service too, I get to follow the exhortation with a story about a bag of donuts, my favorite food. But this is a great story. I think it really represents this point so well. So it happened to a friend who had a friend in the airport at Heathrow. So Heathrow is really busy, a really busy, crowded airport, right? And this friend went up to, saw a donut stand. He was really hungry, so he went up and bought like this big bag of the little donuts, right? And couldn't wait to eat them. So looking around, just so crowded, found one table with one guy sitting there, you know, and looked pretty harmless. So he's like, hey, I'm gonna join this guy. And kind of was wrestling with his bag and getting situated and moving through the crowd and got over there and sat down. The guy's smiling at him and he's smiling. They sit down and he takes a donut out of the bag and eats it. And the other guy's smiling and he takes a donut out of the bag and eats it. And they're looking at each other, no words exchanged, just smiling at each other. And he takes a donut and eats it. And then the guy takes one and eats it, and they're just like, you know, just looking at each other, you know, having a donut. So time for the other guy's flight. He gets up, and he kind of smiles, looks at the bag of donuts, walks away, catches his flight. Well, it's the other guy's turn a few minutes later to get ready to go, and he opens his bag, and he sees his bag of donuts, and he realizes that was the other guy's bag of donuts. I was helping myself to the other guy's bag of donuts. But I love this principle. They're all the Lord's. Like, that's it. He owns all the donuts, right? Isn't that a great story of, like, that's how God sees us, right? They're all his donuts. And so everything that we have is actually, you know, if we can see God like that and see how freely he gives to us, it keeps our hands, you know, open on everything that we claim is ours. Like, it's so easy to be like, that's mine and that's the Lord's. But if we can look at it like they're all his donuts, you know, it really helps that idea of sharing. And so I think, even in that picture of everyone gets to play, this is something that we actually get to walk out every day. It is something that is really easy. It's not dependent on what you have. It's not dependent on where you are. I love in Luke, you know, 21, we see this widow who has nothing, and she gives two mites. And I looked that up, and it was basically equal to the smallest Roman coin, so like a penny, you know, something very small. But she gave it, and what Jesus was just so moved because she was so willing. She was so open with what she had, and that's what moves him. So I think as we look at that, it's a vineyard core thing too. I know for sure it's on this house to be generous with our lives and with our resource and to give. And I love even just knowing the history of this church. This church has never been in need. They've always somehow God continues to provide And it's then their priority to sow into La Vigna and a lot of the other churches that are in need. And so I think if we can keep walking that out. Malachi 3:10 talks about God is the only test in the Bible, I think. You have to correct me. It's where basically, I'm actually going to read it to you guys, but it's really one of the only instances where God says, test me in this. So he says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and not pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And so I think just that is just a godly principle. Like, test him in that. What, as we open our hands and we give, won't he do this? Won't he pour out more than we can store? And another, I shared this at the first service too, another Vineyard John Wimber saying as we're kind of looking at the core values is we give to get, to give, to get, to give. And I love that chain. We give to get, to give, to get, to give. So we're going to apply that now. If you guys can come up and help with the offering, I'll pray over it. And we'll put that into effect. Okay, Lord, so you're so good. And you are extravagant. You're generous and extravagant beyond what we can ask or imagine. I pray you continue to move in our hearts and you open our eyes to even those things that you want to do with our resource, that you want to use, that you have a plan for what we have, and I pray we continue to open our hands in that area. In Jesus' name, amen.